as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, I just wanted to share just a few thoughts with you. Communion is such a wonderful celebration that Christ himself gave to us. And let me just ask you this. Maybe you children can help me so I don't speak too long. Why do we have the communion service? Do you know what Jesus said? Do you remember what Jesus said? When he gave it to his disciples, you remember the night before he was betrayed and crucified? What did he say when they were having supper? Do you remember that? That we should do this because...
To remember him.
He gave this to us so that we wouldn't forget. And it's interesting, he says, do this in remembrance of not what I've done, but in remembrance of me. And in this communion service at that Last Supper, and in this Last Supper that we will partake of tonight, Holy Communion, we remember Jesus. And he says, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat ye all of it. And this blood is the New Testament. In my blood, drink ye all of it. And he gave himself, as it were, to us. My dad puts it this way. He says, in baptism, we give ourselves to the Lord. We say, Lord, I'm yours. But in communion, Jesus gives himself to us. And he says, all that you need, I'm here for you. It's supplied in me. And so take. And we all tonight will have that opportunity to take. It's an expression of faith, to receive. And it helps our faith. You know, we take from Jesus, we receive his life all the time. If we could learn to live that way. You know, that reality is the same day by day, whether I'm here in this meeting house or I'm somewhere else. I can receive Christ's life moment by moment. Don't we sing that? Moment by moment, he comes to me, and I can draw upon that. But tonight, these emblems, they help us. They help our faith. We have something that we hold in our hands, and we eat and we drink. And that bread and that grape, that becomes part of us. That flows into every part of our being. And it's a picture of how Christ would like to impart his life to us. Strengthen us, both physically and spiritually. Do we need that? Yes, we do. And so we do this in remembrance of Jesus. We consider all that he purchased for us. Full salvation. But there's just a passage I'd like us to look at. And it's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Kings. And I'd like to give this to all of us, but I'd like to specifically speak to the staff for a moment. Because I think that, I trust that you'll remember this as we go through the next 2 weeks together. 1 Kings chapter 19. How many of you know about Elijah? Who was Elijah? Who was Elijah? Elijah. He was a prophet. What's a prophet? Did he make a lot of money? What's a prophet? He spoke God's word, right? The word of God came to him and he would speak it. He went to a king one day, wicked king of Israel, and he said, it's not going to rain. Unless I say. That was a pretty big statement. But who had told him to say that? God. God had sent him. because of your wickedness, it's not going to rain except at my word. And so there was a drought in that land. And Elijah the prophet, again, on hearing the voice of God, go to the brook and I'm going to send ravens there to feed you. And you're going to drink out of that brook and you'll be sustained. And then after the brook dried up, where did he go? He went to the widow, Zarephath, remember that? And he said, make me a cake. And she said, no, I'm going to make a cake for myself and my son, and then we're going to die. And you know that story, how God miraculously provided, and every day there was enough oil and flour to make food for that whole time of famine. God miraculously sustained them. But then it came time for Elijah to go back to Ahab. Now, how many years had it been? Three and a half? I'm trying to remember this. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. It was pretty bad. And so Elijah goes back and he meets a servant of King Ahab, a righteous man. And he says to him, now, go tell your master that I want to see him. And the man says, no, don't do this to me, Elijah. Because I know I'm going to go tell him you're here, and then you're going to disappear again. And then he's going to have my head. So don't do this to me, please. No, I said, no, you go tell him, because I'm going to see him today. I want to see him. And you know the challenge that he made, right? He said, now you get all the priests of Baal, and we're going to have a contest on top of Mount Carmel. And he challenged those people. Whom are you going to serve? Whose side are you on? And the God who answers by fire, he's the real God. Amen. And we know how they prayed to their God, and their God didn't answer. But when Elijah prayed to the God of heaven, God answered by fire. And he consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the water that he had poured around it. And then the people said, the God is God, you know, we'll serve him. And you know how that story went. And then how he killed all those priests of Baal. And then he went and he told the king, he said, King Ahab, you better go get in your chariot because it's going to rain. And there was not a cloud in the sky. And so what did Elijah do? He went and began to pray. Prayed. He then would send his servant, do you see any cloud? No. He prayed again, do you see any cloud? No. And 7 times he prayed that way. And finally, there was that cloud the size of a man's hand. And it rained that day. Just as he had said, at my word. But something happened. Somebody wasn't happy. Who was that? Who wasn't happy? Everyone should have been happy. God had revealed himself. They were free from this false god, Baal. But somebody wasn't happy. And that was Jezebel. Who was Jezebel? The queen. The wicked queen. She didn't like it. And so she sent a message to Elijah. Elijah, you got 24 hours. Basically, that's what she said. And I'm going to make you as good as dead. And so what did he do? He stood up and I said, I'm going to take her on too. Right? No, he ran. He ran away. I probably would have run too. And that brings us to chapter 19. That was the short version, kids. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And he was referring to those prophets who had gone before him. Now I trust that there's no one here or no counselor that after a week you're going to say, "Lord, let me die. It's enough." Or maybe you're in the kitchen and the pots are just piling up, "Lord, it's enough. Let me die." What would you say about him? Was he a little bit discouraged? What do you think? He probably was exhausted and he was tired and he was discouraged. "Lord, I did all this for you. Now this lady says, seeking my life. It's enough. Let me die." Spiritually, he probably was drained. He had fought the powers of darkness on Mount Carmel. And so what happens? He fell asleep. He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And this is the part I'd like us to consider tonight. An angel comes to him in his hour of need, his hour of desperation. And he touches him and says, "Arise and eat." Now who made the food? Who made the fire? And so he sits up, and what does he see? He sees there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And thinking about this service tonight, I was reminded how often back home my dad would says to us when we come to the Lord's table, "The journey's too much for you. The next 2 weeks are too much for you." Maybe you didn't think so. Maybe you thought, "Oh, I'm strong, I'm young, I can do this." Well, let me tell you, the journey is too long. You need divine strength. You need divine life. And what impressed me about this time, it wasn't the ravens that fed him. Yes, that was a supernatural provision. It wasn't the brook, the natural brook. But supernaturally, God had come and provided for him. It seems it was straight from heaven. He sent his angel to Elijah. No longer the ravens. He sent his angel to touch him and say, "Here's the strength that you need. Eat. Here's my provision for you." And so the second time he eats. And it says, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And so the thought I'd like us to take with us as we approach the Lord's table is, he has strength for us. The journey's too long. There are some people here tonight who have been here all summer. But you know what? God has promised to be our life. God has promised to be our strength. And so as we come in faith to partake of the bread and the cup, we can say, "Lord, strengthen me. I need your life. And so I come to your table tonight to receive. To receive grace." My brother Matt mentioned that really it's the grace of our Lord Jesus. Jesus himself comes to us. He is our strength. He is our life. And so let's come with that attitude tonight. Yes, Lord, the journey is too long. And I don't want to do it in my own strength. I don't want to try to make it through. Lord, I want you to minister your grace to me tonight. I want to partake of your life. It's good when we come to the end of ourselves. Maybe God allowed Elijah to come to that point of desperation. We don't have time to look at what takes place after this, but God revealed himself to Elijah. Showed him that it wasn't over, that there was a work yet for him to do. So I trust that each one of us will not give in to discouragement. And if at times during our service here at camp we feel like maybe giving up, let's remember that the Lord has a table spread where at any time we can go and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. I need your life. And I take. I receive. And not only does he give strength inwardly, but he even strengthens these bodies of ours. Have you found that to be so? You know, so often when I go home from church and I'm alive. Did you come in tired? Some of you are yawning. You're going to go home tonight or back to your quarters. You're not going to be able to sleep. No. But there's a refreshing that we ought to believe for. Can we believe for that, for one another? God, refresh these bodies of ours. We need you, Lord. For body, soul, and spirit, you've provided. So minister to each one tonight your life. The journey's too long, but God has provided for every step of the way. He's given us his Son. And so we remember Jesus tonight, and we receive him, his body, his blood shed for us. I too picked out a communion hymn, and I'll read it to you as well. I won't sing it. Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean. Here would I feed upon the bread of God, here drink with thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load, here taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven. This is the hour of banquet and of song, this is the heavenly table spread for me. Here let me feast and feasting still prolong the brief, bright hour of fellowship with thee. Too soon we rise, the symbols disappear, the feast, though not the love, is past and gone, the bread and wine removed, but thou art here, nearer than ever, still my shield and sun. I have no help but thine, nor do I need another arm save thine to lean upon. It is enough, my Lord, enough indeed, my strength is in thy might alone. Mine is the sin, but thine the righteousness. Mine is the guilt, but thine the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge, and my peace. Thy blood, thy righteousness, O Lord, my God. Feast after feast thus comes and passes by, yet passing points to the glad feast above. giving sweet foretaste of the festal joy, the Lamb's great bridal feast of bliss and love. I have no help but thine, nor do I need another arm save thine to lean upon. It is enough, my Lord, enough indeed. My strength is in thy might alone. Amen.